Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Mac Moore, our executive producer, with us as well.
We haven't heard from him since he dropped the curse word about
he
an hour ago.
Ship. Yeah, he was talking about my Caribbean cruise.
Thank you.
The royal ship is moving very steady
right now. Yeah.
The waters are clear. Everybody's having a good time. Cocktails are flowing.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. He said ship.
Yeah. All right.
Aboard the ship is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
How many people like that ship analogy now, boys?
You know, it's funny. I thought that what would bring me to that breaking point would be a Bob take, not a Dusty take, but it was you, Dusty.
It's okay. I can own that. I'm as far as narcissism as you'll ever meet. Call me Narnia. Get in a land of make-believe, you know?
I like that.
Mm-hmm. You ever watch that movie? Oh, wait, you're not a movie guy.
Not a movie guy. Never seen a movie
in his life. I can't believe you guys have never seen American Beauty. Anyways, let's get into sports.
It's never been for me. Ask my wife. I think we've been together about 20 years. I don't know that I have gone to 10 movies with her. It's just never been my thing.
I'm trying to think about big movies that have come in theaters.
And I will tell you this, Mac just hit home why I don't go to movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever see the movie The Smurfs?
I know. Yeah, Mac has.
Royals are in first place today.
Correct.
The Chiefs are going for a three-peat. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now, as they like to say in Kansas City, right? Like, for so many years, Dusty, we would look at other cities, more important, like Boston, and be, like, just envious that every team is always good. And we're like, can we just have one year where our team's good? Mm-hmm. And now we've got a three-peat ready to go in 8 days. We've got a first place team ready to roll that I don't believe is ever going to give up first place. That's why I said last week, I guarantee you that they're going to win this division. They're just playing great baseball right now. And other teams are starting to struggle a little bit. And when you start to have that doubt creep in like Cleveland has had, I think it shows you that you're incapable of winning because the doubt is there. And the Cleveland baseball team right now is playing with a whole bunch of doubt. I remember my wife's uncle is like their VP of communications for Cleveland. So, you know, she's got some Cleveland ties and I talk to him quite often. And at the beginning of the year, I was texting and I go, would you just please lose a damn game so we can catch you in the standings? Oh, little did I know, Uncle Bob, we'd be sitting here today on the 28th day. My parents' 53rd wedding anniversary. Shout out, Mom and Dad. Happy anniversary. That the Royals would be sitting in first place. And they overcame a 10-game deficit, you know, about a month ago, or, you know, a month and a half ago, and they're sitting in first place right now. That just tells you, man, the unbelievable nature of this ball club, the chutzpah that this team has right now. And they spit into the face of all adversity, and now they're on top, and they're not letting this thing go. I promise you that.
Yeah, I mean, if you woke up this morning and saw the tweets or all the Facebook posts or all your Instagram posts. Yeah, the Royals are in first place. It's a real thing.
Right.
So enjoy it. Have fun with it. Live in the time. And know that you can find all the information and all the sounds and audio here on 96.5 The Fan. Thought this was interesting. Not necessarily the take. I think the take is fine because it's still, I think, such a small sample size, 7 years. But there's a tweet that says the Chiefs offense has the most weapons they've ever had in the Patrick Mahomes era.
Mm-hmm.
Some would be like, well, yeah, obviously. There's been a time where they had Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt.
Yes!
And Travis Kelce.
Yep.
This is now the offense they're going with this year, which is Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Isaiah Pacheco, and then they add another name, Carson Steele.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And like I said earlier, kind of fakeish, but not really. I had a thought process more than a dream. Took a 25-minute nap yesterday.
See, perfect. That's a wheelhouse nap right there. You feel much better.
And I got to the consensus in this little, you know, weird situation that is Carson Steele could be Kyle Juszczyk. And he's been a great piece for that San Francisco offense.
Yeah,
in fact,
nice,
he was key in the Super Bowl last year where he got a first down.
He was better than Kittle in the Super Bowl.
Well, he's when you have 4 of your targets only acquire 85 yards on 6 catches, that's just ain't done. But Carson Steele on this list is interesting because the way I think about this after seeing this and zonking out for 25 was maybe he could be that guy. That could be the Kyle Juszczyk. Like, Kyle Juszczyk is not one of those guys that's going to go out there and give you 70 yards rushing, 80 yards receiving, but it's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And teams have to think about that. And I started thinking about, you know, fictitious plays that I could see happening. Like there's like a double curl drag on the left side and Kelsey's over the top and Steele's underneath. And, you know, the defense gravitates towards Travis Kelce because why wouldn't they? Carson Steele gets that little 5-yard dump off. And then we don't know what happens after that. And how many times have we seen the Chiefs kind of get stuck where they get a 4-yard carry from Isaiah Pacheco on first down. And next thing you know, you look at it and it's 4th-and-2 or 3rd-and-2. And it's like, what do they do here? Well, now that
it's the worst situation for the last couple of years right. For this offense has been 3rd-and-short.
And now you have an opportunity to do that. But also those 2nd-and-medium plays that are like 2nd-and-7, 2nd-and-6, like you could run those plays or you could run a misdirection to Carson Steele, and the way that he runs, the way that he can be that weapon. That's where I see that working. You move up the list. Isaiah Pacheco, already know what he is.
Right.
Juju Smith-Schuster, he's not the same weapon, but he's your reliable. He's your, you know, in a video first-person shooter game, he's your little revolver, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be accurate. He's going to be what you need for a short little, like, pass out or a 3rd-and-4 or a 3rd-and-5 or, even a 2nd-and-5 where you just want to keep the chains moving. That's going to be Juju Smith-Schuster.
You're not going to rely on him a lot, but when you need him, he's going to be there, right? He's going to be that Mr. Old Reliable for you that I think every team, regardless of sports, needs to have. You need Mr. Reliable. Mm-hmm. Paul DeJong is kind of becoming that guy for the Royals right now. Like, oh my God, that's a veteran guy that may not put up the best of numbers, but man, when you need him to come through, when you need a professional at bat, that's the guy you go to. And that's what Juju Smith-Schuster is going to present to you. That's why, if I hear more about like what this means for Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice. No, Juju Smith-Schuster was brought in to make the team better. He's a reliable wide receiver. You need veterans that know how to win. Juju Smith-Schuster is that guy.
I also put it as this is why Kadarius Toney's not on the team and Juju Smith-Schuster is.
I don't think Kadarius Toney would be on the team even if Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't on this team right now. I didn't think Kadarius Toney had a shot to make the team before Juju Smith-Schuster made this team.
Fair enough. Xavier Worthy, the new shiny toy that has shown early on, at least in camp, with or without pads, preseason games, he's had some big moments where it's like, hey, we're going to run almost a similar play to Jet Chip Wass where it's 3rd-and-11 and they got 30 some yards on the play.
Correct.
Caught a touchdown from Carson Wentz. Just looks like he's fit the part that he needs to be, which is not going to be a wide open playbook. But I think with the evolution of what Rashee Rice showed last year, Xavier Worthy is going to merit a little bit more of an attention from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in that playbook.
Right.
You move up to Hollywood Brown, you know what weapon he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rashee Rice, what can he advance his game into, right? He's your, what Juju Smith-Schuster used to be, plus a little bit more. He's younger. He's more talented at that time period than Juju Smith-Schuster was, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Quicker, stronger. He can do the underneath. He can go a little bit deeper. He can break a tackle and take it to the house, as we saw last year. You know what Rashee Rice's weapon was. Can it be advanced? Can you add a little bit more ammo to it? And then Travis Kelce, the surefire go-to bread and butter guy that you're going to have. So to say these are the most weapons, yes.
Yeah.
To say they're the best weapons he's had at cohesive unit, yes as well.
I think the answer is yes. You've got a lot of guys out there on the field. You don't just have Sammy and Travis and essentially Tyreek Hill on your team right now. Because you look at that team that won the Super Bowl. You didn't have Kareem Hunt on that team.
Mm.
You did not have running backs that were household names on that team. I do like Damian Williams a lot. I like Darrell Williams a lot too. I thought Dam Williams was a pretty good running back, right? And he should have been Super Bowl MVP, but number 15 made a couple of plays there at the end and captured that Super Bowl MVP from Dam Williams. And so he was good. I think Isaiah Pacheco's better than Dam Williams was during that period of time. And you have more weapons right now, right? Like, is anybody ever going to be as good as Tyreek Hill? It's going to be tough. I mean, in our lifetimes, I don't know that we'll see a better wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs than what Tyreek Hill was, right? Like, in our lifetime, we'll never see a better shortstop for the Royals than what we're witnessing right now with Bobby Witt Jr. We'll never see a better catcher right now than what we're witnessing in Salvador Perez, right? There are certain guys where you're never going to see a player better than. And I'm willing to say that about Tyreek Hill. He's the greatest wide receiver we've ever seen in Kansas City. Now, could Xavier Worthy be better? He could. It's hard. It's going to be difficult, but he could. Mm-hmm. Could Rashee Rice be better? He could, but it's going to be difficult. We're watching the best quarterback and the best tight end. We'll never see anything better than that in our lifetime. But now that you've got a mass of weapons out there for Patrick Mahomes, it's not just two wide receivers and maybe old reliable. You've got Xavier Worthy, who they're going to count on and they love. You've got Rashi Rice, who they absolutely 100% can count on. Hollywood Brown, when he's back, is somebody that they can count on. Juju is somebody that they can count on. Travis Kelce is somebody that they can count on. And they absolutely love what's going on with the running back situation with that kind of that dual-headed monster back there. And I do think we're going to see a lot. I don't want to say split carries, however you want to determine it, but it's not going to always be Isaiah Pacheco. Like, you know, Thor's going to get his opportunity, right? Carson, mm-hmm. the Animal Steel, Warhorse, whatever we're calling the guy, he's going to get his opportunities to carry the football. And that's why I think this team, from a weapons standpoint, is the best that Patrick Mahomes had, because every guy has a legit shot to make a big time play for this team.
Back, how excited are you for this offense? More than you've ever been, probably, is fair to say.
I would say I have more expectations than I've ever had. I'd say that. Yeah, I think when we talk about the vengeance and the revenge season that is this year for the Chiefs coming off of a Super Bowl win and just kind of their attitude of, you know, how Bob's talked about, we're going to go out and destroy people. Yeah, I would say it's quantity over quality when you look at the weapons. Yeah, maybe it's not the quote-unquote best group because, yeah, Watkins, Kelce, and Hill is such a triple-headed.
Hill takes that thing to a different level,
right? It's a new thing, right? It's just
different. I'll be a Sammy Watkins apologist to the day I die of how good he really was.
Great player.
You know?
Great player, but it's just those three. I'll take quantity, though, over quality a lot of time. You got 6-7 guys that are solid, reliable weapons with, you know, I think one of them still being a superstar, obviously, in Travis Kelce. And you mentioned the two, you know, the second-year player and the rookie and Worthy, Rice and Worthy. One of those two guys, maybe both of them, step up this year and really take that leap. But I think Rashi Rice especially has the chance to be kind of, you know, here in Kansas City, we know him and we love him. But I think across the NFL landscape, he could take that jump into, oh, Rashi Rice is a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, because he came on late last year. Yep. He very much came on about the same time that Jordan Love came on last year. And the reason I use that as comparison is because Jordan Love came on late in the season and parlayed that into the postseason, a really nice postseason, got himself a big contract. Everybody thinks Jordan Love is the greatest quarterback on earth now, right? Fine. Rashi Rice kind of came on about the same time. He's not getting the love at the wide receiver position like Jordan Love is getting at the quarterback position. Again, that's the nature of the beast and the nature of those positions. But I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I think the Chiefs are going to score a touchdown on every drive this year.
I mean,
who's going to stop them?
Your optimism is I'm very jealous of it.
Who's going to stop them?
We'll yeah, really out. Themselves. That's
right.
Literally
I mean,
it.
Seriously,
that's literally
like,
it.
Like when you roll out all those weapons and you just have waves of guys that can attack you, how are you going to stop that? Because you can't double anybody anymore. Like, you can't just say to yourself, okay, let's double Travis. Well, then you got Rashi Rice and Xavier Worthy with one-on-one coverage. You've got Isaiah Pacheco one-on-one. You can get him out of the backfield. You got Thor back there now, the Animal Steel, you know, Warhorse, whatever. Like, you've got so many different guys out there on the field. It's not like, you know, you roll out there with one great wide receiver and a good tight end, and you can say, all right, we can try to eliminate those two guys. Well, you know what? You can't do that anymore.
No.
Like, you can't go out there in the old Bill Belichick days and say, we're going to take your best player away. Fine. You want to take Travis Kelce away and you want to double Travis Kelce? Xavier Worthy's beating you over the top. Rashi Rice is beating you on the intermediate route. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to make big plays mm-hmm. to continue to move the chain. Oh, and then boom, pop from Isaiah Pacheco. Like, where is this offense going to get stopped? Penalties?
Yeah, yes.
You know, an occasional turnover or something like that? Like, that's the only way they're going to do it. It's going to be I can't wait in 8 days to watch this team just absolutely destroy and throttle every opponent that's in their way.
Well, tighten down those pants a little bit because you got a little bit of a weight here, Bob.
God, I feel like Binkley.
Yeah, well.
It's just so exciting to be like a sports fan in Kansas City right now. Like, this is literally the year we have dreamt about our entire lives.
Oh, yeah.
It is the first time that we're headed into September with championship expectations for both of our teams, right?
Amazing.
Like, 14, you didn't expect much from either. You're happy to be there. 15, you kind of expected the Royals to be good. The Chiefs, you didn't know. They started 1-5. Everybody wrote them off, and then they won 11 in a row, right? And got that first playoff win of the Andy mm-hmm. Reid era over Houston. This is the first time that we're entering September and we're getting ready for an October of games that are going to matter on both sides of the parking lot. And I was just thinking in my mind, I'm having some friends come over on Saturday, you know, later in the day, and I'm like, God, I got my Buckeyes playing. The Royals are going to be playing. There's other good college football going on. Like, oof. I don't know that two TVs is going to be enough outside, fellas. Like, I may have to roll a third TV or a fourth TV out there because there's so much captivating sports to watch right now. And it's all local. It's all stuff that's going on. We got three local football teams that are going to be doing it. Like, we're in the mecca of sports right now. And God, it's good to be a Kansas City fan.
Yeah, Kansas State's supposed to have a good football team. Jayhawks, best football team they've had since maybe 08.
Yeah.
Mizzou. Expectations to be in the college football championship in the playoff bracket. Royals are in first place. Chiefs are going for a three-peat. Few texts to come in. Won't we have to wait and answer the question yes or no on the cohesiveness until at least a few games? Well, that's why the head of the season, these are the most weapons that he's ever had around him. Yeah. So we'll see if these weapons pay off. My guesstimation or my educated yes would probably say that it's probably going to be just fine, yeah, as opposed to what he's had in the past, except for maybe 2018.
Like, what? Don't set yourself up for like, well, it may not, and I got to wait and see. Because when you do that, in my opinion, you forget to enjoy what's going on, and you're going to spend time wondering if this is going to continue. You got to live in the moment as a sports fan, you know? And I know everybody loves to throw their takes out there that I called this or I called that or I said this, and you stay wedded to those things. Mm. But there's a lot of times it's good to be wrong. Like, everybody was wrong about the Royals this year, right? And you know, I said at the beginning of the year, I thought they'd be good. I didn't think they'd be this good, right? So we were all wrong about the Royals this year. Stop overanalyzing the Chiefs. Just go enjoy the games, man, because before you know it, Patrick Mahomes is going to be retired. Travis Kelce is going to be the biggest star in Hollywood. Andy Reid's going to be sitting on the beach eating In-N-Out in California. Brett Veach is going to, you know, go retire and live in Delaware, Philadelphia, or do whatever he's going to do when he's, you know, all said and done. And it's going to be over before we know it. And if you sit there and you spend time, you know, looking around and trying to figure out like what may stop them, or can we count on, like this text, I don't know if we can say Rashee Rice can be counted on yet, could have a sophomore slump. Why are you thinking that way? Why are you thinking that way? The man's coming off basically a 1,000-yard season as a rookie, and they absolutely love everything about him. Like, enjoy the moment, man. Stop worrying about the minutia of sports. Just enjoy what's going on, because we've never had this kind of success in Kansas City. You got the current that's challenging for a championship. I mean, like, every one of our teams is doing something special. Embrace it.
No doubt about it. Quickly before we go to break, the odds are out for being negative. I guess we could kind of switch that whole thought process of coaches likely to be fired. To clear the slate, Andy Reid is plus 50,000.
Right, last in odds, right?
And he's last in odds as also winning coach of the year, which is kind of ironic.
Yeah. What do you think happens first? Andy Reid gets fired or wins coach of the year?
Coach of the year.
I don't think either happens. Yeah. Ever.
Well, he's never going to get fired. And if he does end it, he's going to go out on his own terms. But the leader in the clubhouse with the best odds of getting fired is Dennis Allen at plus 275.
I mean, that does nothing for me. Like, Dennis Allen sounds like your dentist or your insurance agent or, like, you know, the grade school principal.
Well, either way, he is top of the list of getting fired.
Yeah, that was my pick. I didn't even know he was the favorite in time.
Yeah, just, no, Dennis
that's
Allen.
My pick. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Why? Just because it's so like nondescript. Like, is there anything more nondescript about New Orleans than Dennis Allen?
Because he has Derek Carr. Everybody that Derek Carr coaches gets fired.
And because he wanted Derek Carr. Yeah. He wanted to pay Derek Carr $60 million. And the franchise said, okay, fine, we'll do it. And they paid Dennis Allen. And Dennis Allen has sucked before. He's sucked now. This is his third season. They're not. They went over 509 games last year. I think that's.
And his own team went against him last year when Jameis went ahead and scored the touchdown.
Yeah,
he was
that
like,
is true.
He's like, I called it down. Jameis like, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, we don't care.
The next one is Mike McCarthy, followed by Brian DeBall. Yep. And then Todd Bowles is the fourth. Do you guys have any guesses on who you might see get fired first in the NFL?
I think this is a hard one to predict, actually, because I think Mike McCarthy ends up losing his job, but I don't think it's early, right? I think it's the end of the year when you know, Jerry gets a little nervous and whatnot. So I think he comes later in the year. I just think it's Matt Eberflus, because I think the expectation in Chicago is so high right now for them, right? It's hard to argue that, like, everybody and their brother thinks they're going to be good. And if they stumble out of the gate and they have like a 1-3 September, I could see the Bears getting antsy right there and making a move on Matt Eberflus early, because I feel like he was brought back barely and he's hanging by a thread. And if they get off to a slow start, I could see them hitting the eject button in Chicago.
Three AFC South games to start their season: Titans, Texans, Colts, then they play the Rams. You're right. At that 1-3, that's not great.
That's not great, especially against those teams.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. And you have to look at that when predicting this. I mean, that's why I think the Saints is partially that my pick too. So I get that.
Yeah.
Schedule's a big part of it.
I would say it's either Sean McDermott or Mikey Mack.
Oh, you think Mikey Mack may get fired?
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like wow. Mikey Mack. Don't include my name in his. I don't like that.
I kind of like that. That's an interesting. I like that you're going out and the Sean McDermott one to me is, that's one I thought would have happened last year had Kadarius Toney not lined up offsides.
Right. And McCarthy is, he's in the Jerry Jones doghouse the day he was hired. So right. It's you're always looking mm-hmm. over your shoulder, and Dallas can always do something very sporadically quickly as well.
And the other one is Robert Saleh, too. You know, if the Jets don't get off to a great start, you know, look, if the Jets go 3 and out on their first drive, they will be calling for Robert Saleh to be fired. Okay, let's just call it what it is.
Right.